Open your Bibles, please, to the book of Revelation, chapter 22. In your Schofield Reference Bible, page 1352. Revelation, chapter 22, we'll be reading verses 1 through 7. We'll read these verses responsively. And may we please stand for the reading of God's Word. The fifth verse is the text verse for this morning's message. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, These sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. And together on verse 7, Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And let's pray.
You need not turn to it, but I read, And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And there shall be no more curse, and there shall be no night there. And they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I was in the city of Amarillo, Texas, preaching a series of meetings many years ago. I went to the cleaners to have a suit pressed. And while I was chatting with the owner of the cleaners, or at least the lady there that she and her husband owned it, one of them said to me, and I'm almost sure it was the woman, but I'm 99% sure. One of them said this, I'm almost sure it was the woman. She said to me, after I'd asked her, I said, Do you know if you died you'd go to heaven? And I want to say this. Brother, that's the most important question you'll ever answer in your life. Do you know if you die you'll go to heaven? The Bible says, appointed a man wants to die, and after death, the judgment. And I don't care what you do in life, if you don't get ready to die, you're a failure. It's foolish. So I said, Do you know if you died you'd go to heaven? And she said, I've been there. I said, You've been where? She said, I've been to heaven. She said, Yes, I'm saved, but I've been to heaven. I was sick. I died. I was brought back to life, and I went to heaven for a few minutes. And I said, What was it like? She said, The first thing I saw was a great light. And then I saw a great throne. And then I saw Jesus on that throne. I said, What else did you see? She said, I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. I was in Henderson, Texas, where I pastored for about a year. I went to a store right across the street from the church. I could give you the man's name. I was new there, didn't know the fellow. I said, Would ask you questions. I'm the new preacher across the street. I said, Do you know if you died you'd go to heaven? He said, I've been there. I said, What do you mean? He said, I'm saved. He said, I died, was brought back to life. I've been there. Now, Henderson, Texas is about 600 miles from Amarillo, Texas. I said, What did you see? He said, I saw a big light. And then I saw a throne. And then I saw Jesus on it. I said, What else did you see? He said, I can't tell you. I was in Struthers, Ohio, preaching, almost the Pennsylvania line. The pastor of the church said, "My predecessor is an older man. He's very ill. He'd like to meet you." I went to his home after the morning service, and there lay in the bed one of the sweetest faces you ever saw in your life. I said, "How are you?" He said, "Mad." I said, "I'm sorry, sir. Mad at whom and what?" He said, "Mad at some nurses." I said, "Why are you mad at some nurses?" He said, "Because I went to heaven and they brought me back." He said, "I hate them." He said, "I was there. I was in heaven. All of a sudden I woke up and they were doing all this stuff to get me back. And I said, 'Don't bring me back. I want to stay.'" And he was furious. I said, "Hey, you mean you went to heaven?" He said, "Yes, I did." I said, "What did you see?" He said, "I saw a big light. And I saw a throne. And I saw Jesus sitting on that throne." I said, "What else did you see?" He said, "I can't tell you." I've often wondered why Jesus, who knew everything about heaven, said so little about it. Perhaps it's because we, in our present state, are unable to receive or understand what would be there. After Paul went to heaven in Lystra, he was stoned outside the city and was caught up to the third heaven. He came back and he said, "I heard things not lawful to utter." Now, what did he mean? He meant, "I have no language with which to explain to you. We have no point of reference. If I told you what I saw, you wouldn't understand it because you never seen what I saw. There's no way to compare it." He said, one place he said, "I have not seen." 1 Corinthians chapter 2, he said, "I hath not seen, the eyes have never seen, nor ear heard, nor hath entered into the heart or the mind of man the things which God hath prepared for those that love Him." Now, I know that's talking about the spiritual, the Word of God and so forth, but I think it could be applied to everything that is about God. He said, "There's no way that I can tell you what I saw, because you've never seen anything like it. I told you, we have no point of reference. We have no vocabulary. There's no way you'd understand it if I told you what I saw." Now, he said, "If I told you what I heard," he said, "there's no point of reference for that either, because you've never heard anything like this. And there's no language with which I could describe the music of heaven and what I heard in heaven." And he said, "Neither hath entered into the heart of man." He said, "You can imagine all you want to what heaven's like. And you can draw up in your mind all you want to, all about heaven. But," he said, "there's no way that you, I cannot tell you, because you've never seen anything like it. You've never heard anything like it. You've never imagined anything like it." He said, "There's no way I can tell you about heaven." He said, "You've seen nothing with which to compare it. You have heard nothing with which to compare it. And you have imagined nothing with which to compare it." So God, now here's the sermon, God cannot describe heaven to us with what is there. God must describe heaven to us with what is not there. Because if we know something here that is distasteful to us, God can make heaven sound good to us by telling us what is not there that is here. And that's why God said, "There is no pain in heaven." I can tell you that because you know what pain is. "There's no sorrow in heaven." I can tell you that. We have a point of reference because you know what sorrow is. "There's no weeping in heaven." I can tell you that because we have a point of reference. You know what weeping is. "There's no death in heaven." I can tell you that because you know what death is. The pale horse of death that is ridden roughshod ever since the Eden's garden. And someday we'll be taken and captured by the one on the white horse, and death will be no longer. And so he said, I can't tell you what is there because we have no point of reference. Let me illustrate. I was preaching in Fairbanks, Alaska, several years ago. The pastor said, "What would you like to do on Tuesday afternoon?" I said, "I'd like to go to the most remote village you know of anywhere in this part of the world. I'd like to go to a village where they never leave. The most pagan, primitive village in this part of the world. That afternoon, after a bite of lunch, we got in a little private plane and we took a trip that scared the fire out of me. I even got religion while I was on that trip. I went so far as I even prayed a little bit. We flew back way up in the Arctic area. Are you listening? Way up in the Arctic area. And he said, we're about to land. I said, where? He said, see that right there? It's a landing strip. You know what it was? It was just a little place where there were no trees. That's all. Just like a pasture. And he brought that little plane down there, and we bumped across that little landing strip to a little town called Ramparts, Alaska. There was one little, you couldn't call it a road, two paths where tires could, a truck could run. And they had one little truck, a pickup truck. That's the only thing they had in the way of a vehicle. Nothing else. They had no road in that little village. They had one little path that led from this little landing strip. And it went down and a little path where a truck could drive. And it was right beside a river. There must have been 25 or 30 little houses there. But all of them were made out of maybe crates. And none of them was over that high. And none of them had but more than one room. I have never seen anything like it in my life. And all the people were just sitting there on logs. It was summertime. They were sitting there on logs. Scared me to death. I spoke. They didn't speak. They had one place of business, and that was a little store. That's all. I said to the pastor, I said, are these people dangerous? He said, just act like you don't see them. Sure. Here comes a rattlesnake. Just act like he's not there. And act like you don't see him. And we were there for a little while. He said, these people, there's no road out of this place anywhere. And there's only one vehicle, and that's the fellow who owns the store, has a little pickup truck, and that's all. He said, nobody worked. There was a river there. And the only way they ever left that place was by river. And where that river didn't go, they couldn't go. He said, these people have never left this primitive country. They know nothing about the rest of the world. Now, hear me carefully. Suppose I'd have said to one of them, I'd like to tell you about the place where I was the other day. I'd like to tell you about Nassau in the Bahamas. I'd have said to him, Nassau has beautiful palm trees. He couldn't relate to that. He never saw a palm tree. What does a palm tree, for example, mean to a man who's only seen Arctic berries and snow and ice? And suppose I'd said to him, I want to tell you about Nassau. Nassau has white beaches and brilliantly plumaged birds and an island. It's an island. Has beautiful parks. Now, what would a beautiful tropic bird mean to a man who's never seen anything but a gull and a penguin? And what would a sandy beach mean to a man who's only seen frozen glaciers? Now, how could I have described Nassau to that primitive tribe of people who'd never seen anything but the Arctic climate? Here's what I could have said. I could have said there are no glaciers in Nassau. I could have said there are no polar bears in Nassau. And believe me, take my word, there are no polar bears in Nassau. I could have said there is no ice in Nassau. I could have said there is no snow in Nassau. But the only way I could ever have described to him what Nassau was like with what was in Ramparts, Alaska, that was not in Nassau. And that's why God has His hands bound and cuffed when He talks to us about heaven. If God told you what was in heaven, you wouldn't understand it any more than the savage in Ramparts understood what I would say about Nassau. So God comes along and says, I'm going to take you to heaven if you'll trust Jesus, not if you join the church, not if you get baptized, not if you take communion, not if you live a good life, but if you accept Jesus personally as your Savior, because He was your substitute on the cross, He said, I'll take you to heaven. I say, where's heaven? He says, it's up north. Not this part of the north, but up north in the heavens. And I say, well, what's up there? He says, can't tell you what's up there. Well, why won't you tell me? You wouldn't have any reference, point of reference. Now, I'll tell you what it is like. You'll never feel any pain up there. You'll never have a disease up there. You'll never worry about cancer up there. You'll never worry about AIDS up there. You'll never worry about a heart attack up there. You'll never worry about your child getting leukemia up there. You'll never worry about multiple sclerosis up there. But what's it like? I can't tell you what it's like, but I can tell you what it's not like. And bless God for what I've heard about what it's not like makes me want to hang around there the rest of all of eternity. Let's suppose I said to those savages, the word savage may be too strong, but those primitive people up there live without any conveniences whatsoever in Ramparts, Alaska. I won't tell you about Chicago. Well, what about Chicago? Well, Chicago has skyscrapers. Skyscrapers. Yeah, and freeways. Freeways? Yeah. And it has toll gates every half mile. Toll gates? Now, I could say to them, Chicago has no glaciers. Chicago has no polar bears. Has some mice and rats, but no polar bears. Chicago. But, see, that's what handicapped Jesus. Jesus knew all about heaven, but He couldn't tell us about heaven because we had no point of reference whatsoever. So He said, you'll have no pain there. That's enough for me. You'll have no sorrow there. That's enough for me. You'll have no tears there. That's enough for me. There'll be no crying there. That's enough for me. There'll be no death there. That's enough for me. There'll be no undertakers there. Mr. Ault, you understand that, don't you? You're not going to go to heaven. He'll have to change business there. I won't, because there are plenty of preachers there, and I won't have to change my profession. But there'll be no cemeteries there. There'll be no tombstones there. There'll be no paralysis there. There'll be no strokes there. There'll be no heart failure there. There'll be no old age there. And so God comes along and says, I've got to tell you what heaven is like on the basis of what you know. And since you don't know a thing about what is there, I've got to tell you what is not there. And brother, if what is not there describes anything like it, and what He takes away from me, it must be wonderful what He's going to put in His place. So He says, I'll have to tell you on the basis of what you will not have there. Now, if you want to die and go to hell and burn forever, that's up to you. But I can tell you about a place where you'll never suffer again. If you want to live in hell forever and be without God forever, you go ahead. But I can tell you a place where you'll never have one single pain forever. I can tell you a place where you'll never shed one tear forever. I can tell you about a place where you'll never die. I mean, never die. Never have to worry about the influenza epidemic and a pneumonia epidemic. Never have to take the flu shots and pneumonia shots. And never have to go to doctors. And never have to worry about your loved one who's sick. And never feel the fevered brow of a child. I can tell you about a place where there's no night, where there's no darkness, where there's no sorrow, where there's no pain, where there's no hurt, where there's no disease. And bless God, where there is no death. And let me say this, you're just not very smart if you don't take God up on that deal. Now in my text, we come to the final word about the heavenly city. The last thing in all the Bible about the heavenly city is there's no night there. That must be very important to God. No night there. Now in the Revelation, John has told us a few things that are sort of figures of speech in some cases and things we couldn't understand. He's told us about the sea of glass mingled with fire.
He told us about the throne and the rainbow around the throne, the same thing that my friend saw in Amarillo, in Henderson, and in Struthers, Ohio. He told us about the 24 elders around the throne. He told us about the three living creatures who sang, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come." He told us about the song of Moses and the Lamb. He told us about streets of pure gold and gates of pearl and foundations of the wall garnished with all manner of precious stones. He told us about the river of life and the tree of life that grows there and gives 12 manner of fruits. Now he comes to the last word in the Bible about heaven. And in the last line about heaven in all the Bible, it simply says, "No night there." History has been drunken with nights. By night, Egypt was doomed at Passover time. By night, Belshazzar was slain amidst his drunken party with a handwriting on the wall saying, "Your life's going to be taken." By night, Peter went out and wept bitterly. By night, Saul entered into the cave of the witch of Endor. By night, Paul's ship crashed on the rocks of Malta. By night was the earthquake in Philippi when the jailer cried, "What must I do to be saved?" By night, Judas received the sop and into his traitor's hands. But now then we come to the end of it all. No night. Now what does it mean? It means that those things we associate with night will not be in heaven. In other words, we won't need any rest in heaven because we won't get tired. Nobody will ever get weary. You'll never get sleepy. So there's no need for night. I like that. I'm 63 years old. I have spent about 20 of those years unconscious. And I rebel against that. Folks, "Oh, I just love to sleep." You don't know you love to sleep. You don't know what's going on. In heaven, nothing associated with the night. That means no tiring. That means no fear. That means no crime. That means no hell, because hell is called perfect darkness in the darkness in the Bible. Hell is a place of darkness. Over and over again, in Matthew's Gospel, it says to cast him into outer darkness. When you say, "Brother Hiles, I have a doctor's degree," I don't care what you've got. The Bible's true no matter what you think about it. "Yeah, Brother Hiles, I'm too educated to believe in heaven or hell." No, you're not. You're too ignorant. The Bible says that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. I don't care if you got your PhD. If you don't believe God and His book, you haven't passed the primary first grade course yet, because the Bible says the wicked shall be turned into hell, and all those that forget God. The Bible says, "Then should it say to those on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." The Bible says those not found written in the book of life were cast into the lake of fire. The Bible says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." The Bible says, "And I, John, saw the holy city coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for a husband." Tell you what, if you had been by my side, if you had been by my side for these 42 years I've been preaching, you would believe in a heaven and a hell. If you had seen people die in your presence and fight and gasp for breath and say, "I feel the fires of torment now," you believe in a hell. You'd seen the people. If you'd seen Mrs. Munden down in Marshall, Texas, little country house, lying there with a smile on her face as she was dying, with the people gathered around, joined hands, and I held Mrs. Munden's hand as she went across to meet the Savior. And she led us with a beautiful soprano voice, singing faintly, "I'm longing for the coming of the Snow White Angel Band." You'd believe in heaven. If you'd sat beside that little lady in Henderson, Texas, who lived a few houses from our parsonage, who said, "Read me the 91st Psalm. And as I read the 91st Psalm, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." As I read that entire Psalm, she slipped off into heaven as I was reading the 91st Psalm. If you'd have stood by my mother's bedside when she died, you'd have believed in heaven. You'd believe it. Why? Because my mama saw Jesus when she was dying. And she saw my Uncle Roy, Aunt Octa, my Uncle Harvey, and Aunt Jimmy. She saw Uncle Basil, Aunt Gera. She saw her oldest child who died when she was 7. She saw her second child when she died when she was 7 and pointed to them and said, "There they are."
I've heard of a place that's called heaven, sweet home of the pure and the free, the haven of rest for the weary. How beautiful heaven must be, how beautiful heaven must be, sweet home of the happy and free. There's a land that is fairer than day, and by faith we can see it afar, for the Father waits over the way to prepare us a dwelling place there. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. In closing, I won't tell you what I think. There's another reason I think why God didn't tell us what's in heaven. Same reason you don't tell your kids what they're going to get on Christmas morning.
Mommy, what's in that box?
It's not a rattlesnake.
What's in it?
It's not a spider.
What's in it?
It's not strychnine.
But what's in it?
And every parent waits for one reason. When you see that little one on Christmas morning, look at those presents. It makes all the toil of the year worth it all. It makes all the getting up in the morning before daybreak and fighting the bad weather to work and coming back late at night and all the toil and work and labor worthwhile. And I think Jesus wants to show us through and surprise us. If I died at this moment, I'd go to heaven. I cannot tell you what's there because my Savior chose not to tell me what's there. But I can tell you what's not there. And bless God, what's not there is worth going to heaven for. Now, what's the difference? The difference is one thing. Not what church you join. No, doesn't matter. I'm a Catholic, doesn't matter. I'm a Baptist, doesn't matter. You can go to hell in the Baptist pew in the Catholic confessional. It doesn't matter. Well, I'm a Jew. I don't care. The rabbi can send you to hell just like I can if we don't tell you the truth. The difference between heaven and hell is not in a dogma. It is not in a doctrine. It is not in a ritual. It is not in a ceremony. It is not in a man. The difference between heaven and hell is in a person. And that person is Jesus. If you right where you are this morning will look up and say, "Dear Jesus, I understand that I'm a sinner. And I understand that if I do not trust you, I'll spend eternity without you. But I believe that you came, born of a virgin, lived a perfect life, went to Calvary, died in my place, took upon your own body my sins, and paid the price for my sins. And Jesus, I'm trusting you to take me to heaven, just like I trust every Monday morning of my life an airplane pilot to take me to my destination." Would you trust Him today? Would you say yes to Him today? He'll take you to a place where there's I don't know what's there, but where there's no pain and no sorrow and no crying and no tears and no death. Would you bow your heads, please?